Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here, as always, for more of your listener questions, including a great question from Jacob out in Aurora, Colorado, out in God's country, asking about the best usage of the rolling fast passes. He's going down and he's going to get in with some cast member tickets. He's got a buddy, but that means no fast passes before the trip. So how can he make the most of seeing as many attractions as possible on this trip? We're going to talk about that and much more coming right up. First, a quick word from our sponsor, and that includes our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count down the days until your next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Right now, I'm glancing down at my iPhone XS Max, and I can see that we're down to 21 days to go till the Summit Cheerleading Championships down at Walt Disney World. I get excited every time I place a phone call, post to social media, get a text message. I see a great picture. Right now, I'm looking at the Tree of Life. I've customized the pictures to Mallory's Cheer Squad colors. I get an alert every afternoon telling me, hey, you're one day closer to your favorite place. So you should do the same. Turn your Apple device into a Disney device right now. Check them out at virtualmickey.com. Thanks again to everybody who supports the show with our Amazon affiliate link. You may not think that it matters with the small purchases, but they really do add up. So please bookmark our site on all your devices. And anytime you do that shopping, support the show, get all your Prime benefits, cost you nothing extra. Just click through BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1470 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. Man, here in the Midwest, spring has sprung. I've been able to wear a t-shirt and shorts this week. It has been beautiful. The Cardinals are back home playing the Dodgers. I mean, life is great. Just hearing the birds sing in the morning, not having to bundle up, life is really good right now. And we got Disney trips coming up here soon for a lot of us. I just love talking Disney with you guys. So we're going to have a good time talking today. Maybe it's because somebody's missing. No, it's not because somebody's missing today. No way. I've enjoyed her from a distance from another continent this week. So, it's all good. So joining me today for a fun listener question show, we have Pam Forrester, co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel. What's going on, Pam?
Hey, everybody. I'm so happy to be with you all today. I think that we should try, Mike, this is our goal for this podcast. Are you ready for it?
No, let's do it.
We're going to try to be more profesh. You know, like, Ricky's not here. There's not going to be any cats or anyone pouring themselves a pot of coffee, you know, during the podcast. So we are really trying for profesh.
That is true. She has animals, coffee, snacks, and every once in a while she yelled at her husband during the show. So,
and the poor cat tore his ACL. Yes. What the heck? Is he like in sports on the off time here? Like, he, poor
that's what
guy.
I said. Yeah, Opie. Yeah, he'll be down for a few months and they'll send him down to single A and then he'll work his way back up through triple A and be back up to the Cardinals by the call ups in September. So we'll see.
It'll be a heartwarming story about his comeback, I think, I can tell you. So, anyways, thoughts to Opie.
Yes, that's Opie, we're thinking of you, poor. We need a hashtag. Cat. Yeah, thoughts for Opie. All right, so we got a couple of housekeeping things I want to get off here at the top of the show. First of all, a huge, huge shout out to one of our listeners, Adam Wheatley, down in Nashville, Tennessee. If you have not noticed, and I have been screaming it from the rooftops on social media, check out our website, BeOurGuestPodcast.com. I know, if you've been there the last 10 years, you're like, Mike, you don't want me to go to your website. It's ugly. And I know it was ugly, but I didn't know how to do much with it. So I did the best I could. It was terribly ugly. But
like an AOL site.
It was GeoCities. But here's the thing. It is a hot website now. I mean, it looks good. So drop by. You can always listen to the shows right away. It looks great on mobile. You just bookmark it on your phone. If you want to put it on like one of those home screen icons, it's like having an app. You can listen anytime. You can get all the information. We got Meet the Crew. We've got all kinds of stuff there. Friends of the show. All kinds of great links. So check it out. BeOurGuestPodcast.com. A huge shout out to Adam. We couldn't have done it without him. He just, boom, got great. It done for us. And the hard part is he's training us how to update it. So that's,
I know, because we're morons. We're like, how do you change this one thing? And Adam, like, boom, he writes back this whole tutorial for idiots.
That's what we are, and that's exactly how he has to do it. Exactly.
We know our strengths, and it is not website building.
It is not. So anyway. Thank you, Adam. Tip of the hat for that.
Yes.
Okay, another thing. This Sunday night, we're going to have another call-in live show. It's going to be at 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central, right here on the Facebook page, facebook.com/BRGuestPodcast. Special guest answering your questions, Matt Parrish. From the 30, I know he's like all over the place. Yeah, he's from 3028 Wedway Radio, that other show, and so we're gonna have a good time talking Disney. So if you want to talk to Matt, come on, call in Sunday night, 7 o'clock Central, 8 o'clock Eastern, right here on Facebook. And real quick before we get to the questions, Pam, we're almost cruising. It's 78 days from today, the Be Our Guest podcast cruise on the Disney Dream. So give us a little update for those that are sailing this summer.
So I don't know if y'all knew this, but there's a Facebook group for this. Search for it. It's the Be Our Guest, let's see, podcast cruise group. I didn't start it, so I actually don't know the name of it.
I think it has a 5 in there somewhere, like 5-0 or something.
Yeah. Be Our Guest Podcast Cruisers 5.0. Can you believe this is 5.0?
I know.
But if you are a member, great. Make a point to stop by and comment or lay a GIF or, anything on one of the posts, because that ensures that you'll see the post more often. Facebook has this algorithm. They like to show you things that you've commented or liked before. So try to do that. We are going to be wrapping up the Fish Extender signups on May 1st. That was a suggestion by Joanne. And that was a good suggestion, Joanne.
I think I may miss signing up for the Fish Extenders.
No. If you do not sign yourself up, I'm signing you up.
No,
I'm just kidding.
No.
Yes,
sir. Like Darth Vader when he finds out that Padme died. No.
Everyone has to do it. So anyway, sign up for that. There's a place where you can enter your information, like your stateroom number and stuff like that. So we get to know a little bit about you. So we know that everyone that's cruising with us, they're planning some things already there, but we want you to get involved in the fun. We want the cruise to be about the things that you want to do and that. And remember, we have 2 great days at Castaway Cay on this cruise. There are still some staterooms available on this sailing date, just saying. So it's not too late to go if don't end up with FOMO.
Yeah, seriously, it's so much fun. These cruises, they are great. So
I know
cruising's awesome. Cruising with friends, all the better. And
I agree.
All the tastings, all the meats, all the stuff on Castaway Cay, lots of fun. So housekeeping out of the way, let's get to the questions. And let's see here. Let's go with a cruising question, right? That just came in like right this second. I haven't even read it yet, but I see there's a question mark at the end. So let's go with it. That's from Nicole Bassett in the chat. Cruising in June after 4 days at Walt Disney World. Hey, I'm cruising in June after 4 days in Walt Disney World, too. First time to Castaway Cay. We have a 14-year-old and an 8-year-old. Can they both do the kids club on the island while we are parasailing? So if you don't know, Castaway Cay has kind of the equivalent of like the Oceaneers Club, the Oceaneers Lab. It's called a Spring Leak? No, is that something else? That's a water park. But there is like there's like a kids area that's like.
Yeah, controlled. Absolutely.
Yeah. So can a 14-year-old go there? I don't know. Or wait, 8 and 14. I think it might be too old for a 14-year-old. Maybe.
I think the 14-year-old gets to go on their own. There's sort of an area for that teen group that gets to go. It's actually, so I will tell you, when I cruised last with Jocelyn and the Papadias and the Amosons, our husbands decided they were going to play beach volleyball.
I heard about this. I heard it was a recreation of the Top Gun scene.
Yes, it was. We were, and all the ladies were a flutter. We were like, oh, no. We were like, what the heck? You guys can't do this anymore. 2-man beach volleyball? Are you kidding me? And it took forever, let me say that. And it was hot, too. Not really hot, but sort of hot. But anyways, over there, I actually discovered the teen area. There's actually a really cool kind of hangout place. It's over by the beach volleyball courts, which are sort of by the Cookies 2 location. And they have a great sort of hangout spot for them. They don't do, quite the supervision like of the younger kids. There's a cast member there who can help facilitate them.
Yeah, and it's a cool place because Mallory's gone there with her. I think Mallory and Emily went there together. Mallory went with somebody one time, and you know, it wasn't something she wanted to stay there for a long time. She stayed there for like an hour. We did something and came back and got her, and it was all good because there's lots of, you know, stuff they can do there that's age appropriate and fun for the kids.
Mm-hmm. And dads, if you want to do two-man beach volleyball.
Yeah, you know we're going to do that on Castaway Key. Count that.
Steve probably still has an injury from that.
We'll rotate through. So, yeah, I can't wait. And parasailing on Castaway Key is a lot of fun. I mean, you get really, really high. And the water, when you're up there, just for the record, the water looks like it's about 6 inches deep when you get up there. It is crazy.
That's what Mike kept telling me. After you do that, you're like, that water's shallow. I'm like, it's not shallow. You're like, dude, it's shallow. I'm like, it's really not shallow.
It looks like it's 6 inches deep. It looks like a water puddle because it's so clear. I mean, you can see all the rocks and stuff. So anyway,
It's beautiful.
All right, next question from Jake in Aurora, Colorado. He says, go Rockies. He says, Mike and BOGP crew, I have an odd question due to the circumstances of my upcoming trip. My significant other and I will be taking our first ever trip to the world coming up in April. We are able to make this trip happen due to a family friend who happens to be a cast member. Their tickets do not allow us to attach them to our My Disney Experience app, thus making FastPass reservations tricky. The cast member can make the original 3 FastPass reservations for us 1 week before the trip, but while in the parks, we have to use the kiosks to make any additional reservations. I was curious if anyone has suggestions on what times during the day we should carve out some time to make additional FastPasses, or should we just follow our touring plan and not worry so much about the kiosks? Just wanted to make this trip as enjoyable as possible. Love the show. It helps the workday fly by. Thanks, Jacob. All right, so Pam, I kind of wanted to hit this kind of like from a general... when you get to the rolling fast pass situation, because you can make those on the app as well as the kiosks. And to be honest, I never use the kiosks anymore because do we all kind of feel like it's a rookie move to go to the kiosk? Maybe.
Well, yeah, but this,
they'll have to.
This
they'll have to.
Has
I know, but it's like I don't want to be one of those people. But yeah, if I had to, I had to. I mean, you're getting in for free. So what advice would you have for somebody that's in this kind of a situation?
So here's the thing to keep in mind. After you make your initial 3 FastPass reservations and you go ahead and complete those FastPass reservations, you can make more FastPass reservations either through the app on your phone or at the kiosks. Now, you have to make those one at a time. So you really won't need to carve out a time to do it. Just after you do your original 3, stop by the kiosk, go ahead and make your next reservation for what you want. For me, making additional FastPass reservations after those initial 3 works best at Magic Kingdom. I am able to do what they call the rolling FastPass again and again and again right there. And that's something that you should probably take advantage of while you're there. I think it's a little less effective maybe at Epcot because... there's just not that many attractions, folks.
Well, plus too, when you get to the Epcot in the studios, you got the tiered system too, which works against you in this kind of situation.
It does. But you could the thing about the rolling fast pass is, in theory, if you made a tier 1 fast pass with one of your initial 3, after you were done, if there happened to be another tier 1 available, you could make it again. Mm. But that does not happen very often. So, you know, if you're really going to try for the rolling fast pass, I would suggest making your fast passes as early as you can in the morning and then keep it going because that's your best chance of getting that. And keep checking because the availability actually does change all the time. It really, really does. So, I mean, I've shared with you the last time I went there, I didn't make fast passes before I got there. And I ended up with fast passes for most of the major attractions in the Magic Kingdom and a dessert party. So, Boom. You know, it's not such a bad day.
I would drop this mic, but it's expensive. So I'm not. So, you know what? Here's what happened when we were down for Marathon weekend, or maybe it was Princess weekend when Scott was down there. And no, it was Marathon weekend because Elizabeth was back home. And so we didn't have a lot of fast passes because we really weren't worried about it because we were running so much. But she would we would call her and she would make fast passes and she would make them, change them. And by the time she changed them and added people and subtracted people, eventually we would end up with 2 fast passes for the e-ticket attractions 20 minutes from now. Because she would keep modifying things and it would change up the availability, would shuffle the deck, I guess. And she'd be like, okay, in 20 minutes, you got Everest. We're like, whoa, we couldn't get that. She's like, I just mess around with the system. So, another tip is talk to Elizabeth Gardner. I don't know what her system is. She probably will give it up. All right, next a question. It's from James in the chat. Jiko is our new favorite dinner. How would kids do there? We're bringing them in July. And I agree, Jiko is a solid dinner, even if you have to eat a bird nest at the end of the meal. So, Pam, what do you think? I mean, in general, how would kids do at a place, most signature restaurants, or especially one like Jiko? I think Jiko's maybe a little more casual than most signatures.
Well, so the thing is, you're at Disney World, so there's always going to be kids at just about every restaurant. The only, I think, time that you won't see a ton of kids is at Victoria and Albert's. There actually is an age requirement for that, but it's the only restaurant on Disney property, so there's no other place you aren't going to see kids. My advice for kids is typically try to dine around the time that they're used to. You don't want it to be a later night because then you're going to have fidgety kids who are hangry and fidgety adults who are probably hangry too. So that doesn't make for a great experience. I think Jiko is a little more quiet than some of the restaurants, but there's a lot of things to see and a lot of things that kind of, you know, to occupy you while you're there. They have these birds that are sort of flying around the restaurant, and they change the lighting so it's like sunset on the Savannah. It's really great. The other thing is that the wait staff at all the Disney restaurants are really so great in working with kids. They may ask you if you want the child's entrees to come out before yours. That's something each of you, you know, as a parent, you have to decide how you're going to deal with that situation. I've shared before when Hannah was little, we wanted ice cream sundae to come out when our entrees come out for Hannah.
That is such a great hack. Like, that is so smart. And I would never think of that.
But she was happy about it. You know, she's on vacation too. We did make her eat real food as well. But it just occupied her and really gave us a chance to enjoy the meal. So that's something that we do, but every family kind of deals with that challenge differently. And I think the other great thing about Jiko is you're right there at the Animal Kingdom Lodge. So as a parent, you can always say, remember, we're going to be on our best behavior because if we are, we can go out and see the animals after we're done. And so I think that little prompts like that always help. So
I think you're going to say, if you're not good, we're going to toss you off the balcony and you're going to have to deal with the rhinoceros.
No, yes, the wildebeest.
The wildebeest.
Might get you.
The
yes.
Mongoose.
So anyways, but lots of things to do and see there. And I would not hesitate at taking any kids to any of the Disney restaurants. I just wouldn't. So,
all right. Here's a good question for you, Pam. It's from Paul Callahan in the chat. He says, hey, guys, what's the top thing to do in Walt Disney World when you have only an evening when you're on a business trip? So you're down there, you know, say you're at a conference at the Coronado or maybe over the Swan and Dolphin, what have you, contemporary. You're there on a business trip. It's like you have one night where they're like, free time. You know, we're cutting you loose at 4:30. Yeah. We'll see you tomorrow. Like, you've been in that situation a lot. So what are some things to consider?
So I would want to go to a park that was going to have some kind of nighttime show, some kind of fireworks show, because for me, that's sort of the quintessential Disney experience. And right now I am just, you know, I love Illuminations. I'm so glad they're getting something new. I think Happily Ever After just hits it out of the park. That with the Once Upon a Time projection show, I think is a slam dunk way to end the evening. So I would head to the Magic Kingdom. And again, that's going to be your best chance of possibly, you know, still picking up some fast passes. But even if you can't, there are so many attractions at the Magic Kingdom that you don't have to worry about so much waiting in line, even if they are things like the Tiki Birds and Country Bears and Hall of Presidents. But those are classic attractions. And hello, Carousel of Progress and TTA. There's not a huge wait for those. So I think there's just a lot to do there in the Magic Kingdom. I think you're going to end your night with something that's really spectacular. Just the absolute wow moments that happen during Happily Ever After, I think, are just so awesome. So
I agree. Or you could do like a Disney Springs if you don't have tickets. You know, you could really make a night out of that. But I mean, I understand that you want to, if you have tickets, definitely go to a park and stay till it closes. Jocelyn's in our chat, one of our great agents over at the Magic for Less, with awesome kids, and she says her kids love Jiko. They actually have been talking about it and comparing every steak to theirs. So there you go.
Love that. Yeah, Jiko does make a great steak, I will tell you. And it's still, you can still get it with that famous mac and cheese. So
yeah, and Justin's daughter loves Jiko as well. So Jiko more popular with the kids than you might have ever thought. All right. Next question is from Adam. Actually, it's a statement, I believe. It says, hey, Mike, just listened to episode 1467, which was last week's listener question show, and heard you ask if listeners from the UK celebrate the 4th of July. Well, I do because it's my birthday. When I was a kid, my mother used to tell me that the Americans were all celebrating my birthday when I saw the fireworks on TV. Adam from Newcastle, UK. So there you go. Happy birthday.
Love that.
That's what we do. Epcot really goes out big for your birthday. I'm telling you.
I know. That's what. Look at all the things we do. You have to come over here and celebrate with us.
That's right. All right. Clarissa Dawn has a question in the chat. Hey, guys. Love the podcast. Thank you so much for all the wonderful advice and keeping the Disney spark alive at our home. Well, thank you for letting us in. My fiance and I are doing Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party for the second time in September. What are your must-dos for second timers? We had an absolute blast the first time and can't wait to go again. It's interesting because we always get the question about first timers. Here's what I would say just off the top for second timers. You have a little, you know how the party goes now. You kind of know the layout, when you can get in, where things kind of are in generalities. You know, if like, did I like the stage show last time? Was the, you know, did I, was I blown away by the Booty You Halloween parade? What I think of Hallowishes? I would just, you know, obviously hit the things you enjoyed the first time. But maybe put on your radar, if you missed the stage show, maybe check it out this time, because, you know, you're going to be a little bit more efficient this time. You're not going to be discovering so much. You're going to be more of like, I know what kind of how the flow of the thing goes. So I would say hit, you know, make sure you do a lot of trick or treating. Maybe if you didn't wear a costume last time, go in costumes. I don't know, Pam, what advice would you have for a second timer?
Yeah, there are things that I love so much about the Halloween party that I have to do every time. And those absolutely include the parade and the fireworks. I think they're both awesome and just not to be missed. Then we tend to do a lot of trick-or-treating and doing those different ones. There are different trick-or-treat trails. Wow, that is like a tongue twister. I think I get like a check plus for being able to do that the first time. Thank you. Yes. Bell. that are long, and you get a ton of treats on those trails. So I think those are worth hitting once or twice or three times.
Until you can't carry the candy anymore, really, to be right. honest.
There's no shame in your game.
No.
So anyways, so I think those are worth it. But I also think that it's fun to throw in some of your favorite attractions to have the opportunity to do that. Sometimes the lines are, you know, less during the party. So check out those lines and see where they are. They sort of ebb and flow throughout the night. So if it seems too long, come back a different time. And I definitely still like doing all of the special events that are going to take place during the Halloween party. I understand like the desire to want to ride attractions, but I think for me, the Halloween party is more about doing the things I can only do then. And remember, if you are a collector of special pins or shirts or whatnot, they have pins and shirts and other merchandise that are only available at the party. I think people mostly just buy them and sell them on eBay, but you could do the same.
I think some people, I think some people look at these parties and say, this is a opportunity cost. Like, for example, this summer, they're having the Villains After Hours from June to August, select nights. I think it's like 12 nights. And, you know, the After Hours events are insanely crazy. You know, they're very popular. Every guest that I have that comes back, I always ask them, how'd your trip go? Would you like what, you know, what would you change? Stuff like that. And every person did After Hours, like, I loved it. Loved it. I mean, this is not a cheap event. So if the experience isn't pretty top quality, I would think people would be not giving such great reviews, because you're typically paying, you know, like $100 if you're an AP holder, about $140 if you're, you know, a regular person without any kind of discount, DVC or AP. So it's expensive, but people love it. And like you said, Pam, I mean, there's one of the biggest things, even at this Villains thing, you know, they announced, you know, there's not going to be any Villains meet and greets, but there's going to be a stage show. They're going to do some overlays with, I think, live characters on Pirates in Space. And, you know, there's a lot of other stuff going on. Of course, all the, like, you know, little snacky things. But one of the things they really were pushing were merchandise and food opportunities during the party.
Oh, let me tell you, Disneyland in California has built a cult following on all Buckets. Of the incredibly interesting treats that it has, right? I mean, they're putting out some fantastic things. Every time I go to Disneyland, I'm always like, hey, how come we don't have this? But I think World is really catching on, right? Don't you think? They're more than just special cupcakes, my friends. They're crazy.
Those things are crazy. Like, we are going to get to the point where, like, okay, I know they're beautiful, but like this, it's over the top, man. Some of these things are crazy.
Never.
Oh my gosh.
Never. Social media has made it so that last time we were there, we got the up ice.
That's what I'm talking about. You had to get it. Elizabeth
had to get it.
Yeah, Elizabeth got like the Rapunzel thing or something from the place across from Seven Doors Mine Train. She's like, it tasted okay. I mean, but it looked great. What is wrong with this? Like, it's supposed to taste great. Who cares what it looks like? Oh, we're so on Instagram.
It's so fun, though. It's beautiful. And all the special foods, at the same location at the Anti-Gravity's is where I got the up Dole Whip. They were selling this like shake that came with this huge Mickey shaped marshmallow that was on the straw. I mean, it was beautiful. The amount of social media coverage that Disney gets. This is a business model,
it
my
is.
Friend.
It is smart. I get it. I get it. We're suckers. We are
People
suckers,
pay
though.
For it, pay for it so they can take a picture and put it on their social media to market and promote you. Hello.
Do it every time. I am like Absolutely. The. And I like hate that I do it. Oh, I feel so. I need to go take a shower.
No, you don't. No, but think about the things that you find that you really love, like the Nutella waffles. And those were things that initially I think were going to be sort of limited time things. And look at how they've rolled out and sort of became staples. I mean, churros, they're cuckoo for churros in California. They have a different churro for every holiday. So anyways, the whole world of Disney food, I think, is exploding.
It's all because of AJ. It's all her fault. That's all I'm gonna say. It's all your fault. Okay, so we have a question from Tim here, and it's right for you, Pam. And we love Tim. He's always in our chat here. So a question about valet parking for Pam. Last time we visited, we had issues with valet parking. We know when you pay once, you're allowed to valet park without charge at the other resorts. This often caused confusion, as every resort seems to have different procedures. This sounds so Disney. Do you have any advice to streamline this? What do you say or what do you do to make this more seamless? So exactly, we see this with so many, because the thing is, Walt Disney World is such a huge place, which is why we love it. But a lot of times the left hand isn't talking to the right hand. And, when you have 22 hands, like it's seven-headed octopus, I don't know. It gets really confusing. So what do you say?
It does. And to throw more into the mix, it's like each resort is its own little fiefdom with its own set of rules. And you know what I mean? It's boggling. You think to yourself, why isn't there some consistency and this is the reason? So you're absolutely right. When you're paying for valet parking, you should only have to pay for it once. The gratuities, of course, aren't included for the valets that take your car, but the actual charge, which is, as we're talking right now, I think it's $33 to valet park. That should only be done once. Sometimes they'll give you a receipt, and that may be something that you can show to the next spot that says, hey, I've already paid for valet parking today. I'd like to valet park here again. The other thing, I mean, I wish I had like the magic words that would make this all happen. Unfortunately, there just aren't any. I think it's just going to be explaining it each time. But the one thing you really want to be sure of is that they are not charging you afterwards. We didn't valet park, but we had, I forget what it was. We did valet park and we went in and it was a Tables in Wonderland thing. So we were able to park for free. And we found later that they had charged us anyways for it. So just make sure that you're checking your Disney Resort bill. I guess he had scanned one of our magic bands or things like that. But unfortunately, there's just no magic words for this. It's just going to be a process of explaining it at each location.
Yeah, it is. And it's I think, once you actually, the problem is you will be fine, but it takes, 5 minutes to explain, I paid somewhere else, so.
I know.
It's crazy. And shout out to Malcolm over in the UK. Hope family's doing great, because we were talking about that through email. So glad to see you in here. This is the UK version today, so you don't stay up late. That's what we call this. All right, Gordy's got a question. Can you guys explain more about the discount Disney offers for your trip for your next trip when leaving your resort? Thanks in advance. So I think he's speaking of a bounce back. So bounce backs are pretty, pretty simple. Okay. So what you need to do is in kind of the myth is like, maybe, if you're like a lucky chosen one, kind of like how the PIN codes go out and it's like, we don't really know the rhyme or reason why you get an email. The thing is that when you're there on your trip, your current trip, you can typically book a bounce back. Now, there are a few exceptions where they're not available, but they're almost always available for some dates. You can either contact your travel agent, but you got to be checked in on a current reservation. Like, you have to actually physically be checked in first because they verify that through the system. Once you are checked in on that reservation, you have till midnight the day you check out to, well, not midnight, yet until they close, which is 10 o'clock Eastern. And so if you have a travel agent, please let us know, like, by dinner time. This is, so we're not like tick, 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 tick.
That's right.
So anyway, what happens is, you know, you can find out they have some good offers for future dates and other select dates. So like right now, the bounce back is going through December 24th, because obviously once you hit December 25th or the end of the year, it's kind of nuts. They don't offer discounts over Christmas typically. So they have select windows of travel. I know most of the summer's available right now and bounce backs, you know, most of the fall, except for like around, you know, a few windows where there's like a race or something. So what you do is you put down a one night's deposit on that reservation. So you have to do it while you're there. You can't hold it. You can't do a 3-day hold. If you've ever done that, you cannot do that on a bounce back. You got to lay down the deposit. But here's the great part about that. That deposit is 100% refundable until 6 days prior to check-in. When you get home, you can cancel if you want to. You can change resorts based on availability. You can modify dates within the booking window. So you're not locked into it. What you're doing, basically, it's kind of like if you've ever done a Disney cruise and you put down the $250 for your placeholder for a future cruise to secure a discount. You can, back in the day, they just changed this over the past couple of years, where now you just put down a straight $250. You're going to have 2 years to use that. You get your discount. You get your onboard credit. What they used to do is you had to put down a date. So you'd always put, like, you know, almost 2 years out on a 3-night Bahamian cruise to get the smallest deposit amount. And then you'd shuffle it once you found where you wanted to travel. So basically, you just got to throw down a deposit. You know, try to pick the date you want in the resort, you know, get as close as you can, because that way you're locked into that availability. You have that. You're guaranteed on that. But the thing is, don't stress like, oh, my gosh, I'm on vacation. I'm not 100% positive that I want to stay at French Quarter in July and I might want to stay at Coronado. When you get home and take a deep breath and you unpack, then you can kind of go back and revisit that. So, but once you don't put down the deposit, that discount has flown the coop. It's gone forever. Right, Pam?
It is. It absolutely is. And typically with the bounce back offer, they have not only a room only offer, which requires a one night deposit, but they also have a package offer, which only requires a $200 deposit. And again, that is, you do have to cancel that a little further in advance. It has to be 30 days or more in advance. But still, that gives you tons of time to really think about this. And like Mike said, don't stress too much about the dates that you're picking with the bounce back offer. I mean, if you know dates that you're coming back, absolutely book those dates. If you know kind of around where you're going to be, book those dates and then get with your travel agent when you get home. And again, if you are working with a travel agent, call up your travel agent and say, hey, we're here. Can you book me a bounce back offer? Because we're glad to do things like that. Go ride Space Mountain. Let us book your bounce back over offer, because we can get it all set for you.
And what I tell my guests is, like, you know, we know typically what the offer is in general before you go,
right?
You know, because like we know what it is right now for the rest of 2019, at least until Disney changes it, which they can at any moment. But the thing is, like, what we do is I have a guest email me with what they're thinking about before they even leave on the trip. And then I say, okay, Once you got my phone number. So once you get checked in, shoot me a text. We're here. Can you call on that bounce back here over the next, you know, we're going to be here for the next 4 days. And I do that right away. And then they're not wasting any time. They send a text message, 5 seconds, you know, and it's like, they're going out having fun.
True.
I text them back. Yep. Got it nailed down. Got you, you know, we're set up on the payment. We got it done and they're secured. And you know what? Sometimes it's before lunch on their first day and they don't have to worry about it. So
that's right.
Easy, easy peasy.
Absolutely.
All right, so let's get to the next question. Where'd it go? Lost it, of course. Oh, it's Alfred. Here it is. He wants to do the Illuminations dinner package. Is it only offered at Rose and Crown? I believe it is, right, Pam?
It's only offered at Rose and Crown because Rose and Crown has that beautiful patio area where you can have a great view of Illuminations. Alfred, did we mention that all your drinks are included? Just wanted to put that
on. So he's asking actually what's offered. So kind of walk him through. It's a 3-course meal with drinks included.
They did. It is. You get a sort of sampler platter of appetizers. And of course, the fantastic scotch egg is a choice, but the cheese plate is a choice. And for me, those are two of my favorite things on the menu, period. So was, you know, so glad to see both of those offered the dessert as well is sort of offered as sort of a sampler plate. You got an assortment of puddings, if you will. But one of them was the very famous sticky toffee pudding that so many people enjoy at that location. And then they had a number of entrees from which you can choose. One of them was the famous fish and chips, of course, was there. It was so good. And I will tell you, like 95% of our party, if not our whole party.
Every person at the table got the fish and chips. Every 100% of our party. We all got fish and chips, all like 12 or 14 of us.
There were some other choices. I believe there was corned beef and cabbage, and I think there was bangers and mash. Yep. There was a salmon, I believe, and there might have been a cottage pie. But yeah, it was a good meal. And I really loved being able to sit there for Illuminations. I thought it was just, you know, I think they did a great job, and it is a great viewing location. So see it before it's gone.
Remember too, # limited time magic.
Limited time magic. Yes. Remember that?
Of course, that's what it is right now, because time is ticking.
I know, right?
All righty. Next question from Sammy. Hey, guys, I'm headed to Epcot next month with friends, and our current plan is Fast Pass Frozen around 11 a.m. and Rope Drop Test Track. Any suggestions on how to use our other two Fast Passes? Thanks. All right, so he's got Frozen Fast Pass at 11, so that's Tier 1. So let's see. Do you want to ride Spaceship Earth or Finding Nemo? You can do Mission Space.
Living with the Land.
That's a solid one. I love that ride.
I love it too. And so the thing is, you know, the parks are busier, and there are many times when you actually need the Fast Pass for Spaceship Earth. Otherwise, you're standing in a longer line. And it's absolutely true for Living with the Land too. You know, I don't like to see people waste their Fast Pass on the Imagination attraction, because there's rarely a line there. And that's true typically for Nemo. And I will tell you too, most of the time when there is a line in Nemo, I'm actually kind of happy about it. That place knows how to do air conditioning. The queue for Finding Nemo is always very cool and refreshing. So I'm happy to stand in that line. I think Spaceship Earth is a solid choice. I think Living with the Land is a solid choice. And I have challenges with all the movie sucks in a ton of people at once. So I think it's hard to really justify that. There's typically, I mean, you're going to wait until the next movie most of the time. There's not much more of a wait than that. So I think Epcot is the one that we all struggle with, right? In terms of, you know, what do you use those other Fast Passes for?
All right. So we only have a few minutes left, but I want to get three questions in because they're good ones and I want to get them in because they're new folks. I've seen the chat. So here we go. Laura's got a question. Do you have any 4th of July recommendations? This is our first Disney trip during a major holiday. It'll be myself, my husband, and our girls, who will be 10 and 5. Thank you so much for making my day # freaking magical. Well, Laura, you are # freaking magical for being here. And come find us, because we're going to be there over the 4th of July as well. We'll be at Epcot. I love Epcot on the 4th of July. Holds the crowds well. Lots of great places to get a sit-down meal, like late. I say early dinner. You know, say get an ADR around 4 or 5, 6 o'clock-ish. And that way, staying for the fireworks isn't too bad, because by the time you get out of dinner, the sun's going down, it's cooling off a little bit, and they do an awesome show for 4th of July. So that's my biggest tip. Epcot on 4th of July, have an ADR early evening. So Pam, what do you say?
Yeah, absolutely. The Magic Kingdom will typically have their 4th of July show on both the 3rd and the 4th. Our technique has been to hit the Magic Kingdom on the 3rd, brave those crowds, but see that awesome fireworks show, and then be in Illuminations on the 4th. My big suggestion to you is make an ADR in whatever park you're going to be at on the 4th. You do not want to have to be fighting the crowds for quick service. You might take someone out of Pecos Bills. I'm just saying, that line is going to be out the door. It's going to be hot. People are going to be frustrated, and it doesn't make for a good holiday. But yeah, make some plans in the evening. Make sure you have Fast Passes in the evening. We tend to go 4th of July. We leave our Fast Passes till the evening, so we can be there in the parks knowing that we're going to be enjoying that, but we have some things to do. And leave that morning open, maybe. Enjoy your pool. Do some Disney Springs. There's so many things to do outside the parks, and then enter the parks in the later afternoon and get ready to party for the 4th.
Yeah, the last couple of years, we've kind of slept in on the 4th, gone to the pool, all hung out, and then, you know, showered up, and then went to the parks, like, early afternoon. and then just make
you didn't really shower.
I said I swam. I mean, exactly. I mean, I got wet, so it counts. Wipe the sweat off. I only ran 9 miles that morning. It was all good.
Whatever.
I didn't run 11. All right, Ashley's got a question. Finally convinced my husband that we make Disney World a yearly trip. We're having to decide between early February or early May. We worry about weather delays and sickness interrupting travel in February, but in May, it's also close to summer vacation already. Let's face it, I don't want to wait longer. Any suggestions to help tip the scales? So early February or early, man, it's hard to go against early May because the kids aren't out of school yet. That is right. Probably still one of the slowest times, which is not slow times, but I still say early May. God, the weather is amazing. And that's probably one of the lower crowd times at all of all year.
I agree. And the other thing you want to think about is you want to make sure that you avoid President's Day. Now, I know it doesn't happen until sort of mid-February, but if you're bumping up against President's Day, you will definitely see an increase in crowds. If you can absolutely avoid that, February is a great time to go. You'll have one of the Epcot festivals going on and whatnot, but be aware in February, you can have weather that is crazy pants, just absolutely crazy pants. I've been there in February and March and had sleet, no joke, freezing. I was wearing my heavy down jacket at Disney World in February. What the heck?
Yeah.
But then I've also had absolutely beautiful weather. So I'm going to lean like Mike a little bit towards May, but I think both times are great times to go. They really are. You're going to see lower. I never say low anymore. There are no low crowds at Disney. So just be prepared. Let's concede that there are no low times to visit Disney World. There are lower times than others. And if you go with that mindset, you'll be great.
I heard this September is going to be real low crowds.
Yeah, I don't know. There's something opening, I heard. Yeah, I don't know.
See, here's what I was using for my resources. If I can get this down, I'm pulling down the bookshelf. It's my Walt Disney World for Couples 2002.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I was reading this last night.
Right. Yes. I think that's a good one.
Yeah, it's a good book.
Here's what I'm going to say. What's happening?
Jedi Mickey for those that are listening.
Mickey. Yes. As Luke Skywalker. So, September is not going to even be close to a slow month.
We'll see. All right. Jeff's got the last question of the day. He says, knowing your dislike of the Magical Express. I like Magical Express. So easy there, Jeff. I know Pam doesn't exactly. What do you do when arriving at the airport? Typically rent a car, a minivan, other? We're thinking of trying the minivan pickup just for something new as a splurge this trip. So, Pam, I ride Magical Express because I'm tight as it could be. So what about you? What's the procedure? Because you guys always rent a car.
Yes, my husband is not very good at the bus situation. Now, when we're there with a big group, like will happen this summer, I think that he'll probably get on it a couple times. We have photographic evidence, I think, of him actually riding the bus a few times.
He actually got a celebration button for riding a bus.
He did. That was his celebration. That was his triumph.
It was. Personal triumph. I rode the bus to Hollywood Studios.
And you know what's funny is Steve is really one of the most patient people in the world. It's just that he values his time there and he just wants to be a little more in control of when that is. So we typically rent a car. We do at the airport, National Alamo. You can walk right out to the aisle and pick your car. And it's just awesome. And you know what? It's a small price to pay to keep my husband happy. I'm just saying, he doesn't hardly ever complain about anything. And having a car makes him happy. The other thing he will do, though, is he will Uber. And we have had trips lately where all we have done is Uber. We Ubered from the airport. We Ubered from resort to resort. We Ubered from, our resort to the parks and whatnot. And he's okay with that, too, because he can, he calls the Uber comes, we go there. I think Disney transportation for so many people is just awesome. So many people love, not having to drive from place to place is part of the thing. The one time where it is a little more challenging is when you're going resort to resort. Those are, a little bit more, but, there's options for everyone, thankfully. That's what makes the world go round.
So. I know, but for my trip in May, you know, for the cheerleading thing, and again, I didn't get to book the hotel because it's all through the gym that she cheers with. Somebody decided to make all these decisions, and we're staying at a Disney Springs hotel that doesn't have Magical Express. So we are going to Uber from MCO over to the hotel because we're getting in real late. And I've Ubered from Wilderness Lodge to the airport, and that was amazing because I got there like in 30 minutes. It was so great. Like, my driver was great. It wasn't that, I think it was like $38. It wasn't expensive.
Right.
Saved me a ton of time. You know, it was great. So I'm hoping that happens. But I, you know, I'd rather just kind of be in that Disney bubble, get on the bus. But yeah, got to do what you got to do. So, and it sounds like a lot in our chatter with Steve. Everybody likes their control, it sounds like.
And I will say the one thing about Uber is it is certainly not in the Disney bubble. No, I mean, no, we have had fantastic experiences and we've had questionable experiences where I was like, my door still opens, right? It's not locked. So
apparently Jennifer in the chat, I guess that she works in some corporate position. She says, we make our salespeople take Magical Express. It saved the company over $7,000.
Well, yes, I think that's absolutely. I would expect that the company to say, take the magical, take the chipper chicken, as they say. And Father of the Bride.
Yeah, they're like, you can take any bus you like as long as it's Magical Express.
That's right. Yes, you can check in and take Magical Express and then take Magical Express.
And I love it too. Cheryl's got, she says her We Heart Magical Express there in the chat. And I love it. Yeah, I do too. So same
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, lots of people do. I think it really works so well for some people.
It does. All right. Well, that's going to do it for today's show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thanks for all the great interaction here on Facebook. You guys make this fun for us. And if you can, join us again next time. We'll post it on the Facebook page and recording. We may do another lunch show if Ricky's not back next week. If not, we're typically on Mondays around 5:30 Eastern. Don't forget, today's show is brought to you by the virtualmickey.com. Forgot what day of the week it is. And you got Theme Park News Disney Edition. I know, I was trying to think, what day are we? Yes, it is Wednesday. So Theme Park News Disney Edition, it's a free app for your iOS device. Keeps you up to date with all the news. Let me just check right now. Let's do this live here since Ricky's not here. I'm going to click on Theme Park News Disney Edition. And there's a quote by Walt Disney right there coming up. And what do we have here? Stuff about MaxPass out at Disneyland. Let's see here. Or have a roaring good time for the planet at Disney's Animal Kingdom. I guess they're having an Earth Day party. Sounds like. I was reading headlines here. This is like, I'm so Twitter. You know, I'm just reading headlines here. Hollywood Studios is going to have an upcoming live action movie preview for Aladdin. So we're going to have that.
I know. Yeah. I saw that. That looks good. A lot of mixed reaction on Aladdin. That's why I think it makes people want to go see it.
So. Yeah. I just want to see Toy Story. I'm pumped for that.
I hope there's no crying involved.
Oh, I know. Seriously, after three, I had to go see like a psychiatrist, I think. My kid was going to college. Anyway, that's the kind of stuff you get. It's better than reading the cereal box, and it's a free iOS app. So check it out today over at virtualmickey.com. It's called Theme Park News Disney Edition. Again, please use our Amazon affiliate link when you get a chance. The little purchases do add up. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. Check out the great website, BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks again to Adam. Huge thank you to him. Follow us on social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestPod, which if you see stuff from England or France, it's because Ricky's using it. Or she's so far away, we can't get a hold of her. So you're going to see some cool stuff, Harry Potter stuff in Paris. She's going to Disneyland Paris. I'm going to call it Euro Disney. She's going to Disneyland Paris this week, so check that out. Be Our Guest Pod. Of course, Be Our Guest Mike as well. We got the Facebook page at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast and the YouTube channel, youtube.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, time to get out of here. We're going to be back again on Friday talking about the best things at Walt Disney World. Our best, and you throw it out there, the best taco, the best burger, the best place to sit by a pool. We're having a good time, and we need you to join us to give us that feedback as well. So for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.